Good afternoon and welcome everyone to the Pence Podcast. We're on season 5, episode 6. You'll notice today a new voice. I'm Emily Bashong, filling in for Layla Pence, who is unfortunately a little under the weather this afternoon. And I'm joined today by our Chief Investment Officer, whom you all know, Dryden Pence. And we're so glad that you all could join us because we do have a lot of insight to share with you today. In this podcast, we're going to cover interest rate outlook. We're going to talk about market and earnings outlook. We're going to talk about the big thing on everybody's mind, the election forecast. We're going to talk about year-end implications. We're going to answer some client questions. So thank you to everyone who sent in your questions. And last but not least, we have some very exciting event news. So stay with us until the end, and we're going to give you a treat and a new event coming down the pipeline. So Dryden, the Federal Reserve met yesterday and interest rates are unchanged. This has had a big impact on the markets. Can you explain to our listeners why this is happening?
Sure. I mean, what you've seen the last couple of days was a lot of volatility. I mean, went up one day, down one day, up one day, down one day. All of this is dancing around the idea of when does the Fed pivot? And the pivot is what we mean when we actually hit that moment where they lower interest rates. Now, we've had interest rates, Fed funds rate at 5.5% now for well over a year. And we're finally reaching that moment where, and your investment team's been saying this, ladies and gentlemen, since really the beginning of the year, is that probably you see the first cut in September. Well, guess what? Probably you see the first cut in September. And it's going to be 25 basis points. That's what they're preparing everybody for. And then, you know, on top of that, you had some information come in that says, oh, maybe growth is slowing. So all of these things are coming together at one time, creates a little volatility. You get the market goes up 1 or 2% one day, down 1 or 2%. It's kind of trying to find its level. But the important thing to recognize here is that, first of all, none of this is unexpected. This is kind of what we've been looking at for a long period of time. You've seen some volatility in the market as you've seen the rotation out of the Magnificent Seven into the 493. Again, we've been positioned for that. That's what we expect. And now you're beginning to see this moment where everyone's going to have to begin to get used to the fact that we're about to start hitting a rate lowering cycle. The question's going to be not, you know, starting in September, the question's not going to be, are they lowering rates? But they have. But then how much and how quickly? I think that you're going to begin to see this fundamental change occur. But recognize, please, that the lowering of interest rates is actually a positive thing. It means that the Fed has been successful in slowing the economy down. Is the economy slowing down? Yes. Is that what the Fed wanted to have happen? Yes. And so they're getting what they want, and they're getting what they want at a rate that is acceptable. So I think that when you think about this whole idea that the Fed has engineered a soft landing, they are. I've said this a dozen times, but to the listeners that are new to this podcast, what you're seeing in the economy is this. It's like driving a car at 90 miles an hour for a long period of time. You slow down to 50, you feel like you're standing still, but you're still moving 10 times faster than you can walk. And that's why when there are surveys asking people, are we going into a recession? They go, oh, yes, we are. It feels like a recession, but they're still spending the same amount of money that they were spending last month, right? One thing that's really important to recognize when you look at the economy, when you look at the markets, understanding consumer behavior here. We have said this before. The consumers are becoming more conscious about what they spend. You know, COVID gave everybody a lot of money, and they spent anything at any price. Now we're back to normal situations where two things are happening. The first one is that people are now being conscious about what they spend money on. You're still spending roughly the same amount of money per month, but you're making better choices based on your individual situation. Maybe you're shopping at Costco rather than Hermes, you know, and people are making different decisions about what they're doing, but they're still spending the same amount of money. That's important, or close to it, right? People are beginning to be a little careful. Part of all of this is what we call price discovery. You know, the bottom line is companies got away with raising their prices. Inflation shot up, and they raised their prices whether they needed to or not. And they kept raising prices until they found that moment when the consumer said, I'm not doing this anymore. An $8 McMuffin, forget it. And so, but companies don't know that price. It's called price elasticity of demand. They don't know that price until they hit it. You know, those of you who've been following the podcast for a number of years know I talk about this with oil prices, right? Gasoline gets north of $5 a gallon, behavior changes. People carpool and do those things. Well, Egg McMuffin gets to be $8. People quit getting Egg McMuffin. Coffee gets to $7. People quit, you know, do something different. So you see these prices where big behavior changes come because it's just like something's priced themselves out of the market. This is a normal business adjustment that you see that occurs at these times. So companies are going, some companies are going to disappoint on top line revenue because they hit the maximum price. Other companies are going to continue to do well. This is why McDonald's does poorly, Chipotle does well. And you see example and example of this. So what I'm just trying to say here is that the Fed has decided, and they're saying, we're probably going to pivot, so we're probably going to lower a quarter point in September. The data is giving them the room to do that. The markets are going to be volatile between now and then, so get ready for these periods of time where you see a 4 or 5% pull down in the market followed by a 4 or 5% recovery, and a 4 or 5% pull down, a 4 or 5%. We're going to take advantage of volatility and not be its victim. The underlying strength of the economy is still there. We're just seeing a repositioning. What you're going to see is growth in the rest of the market. We like small caps. We like some other companies that haven't had what we call the earnings. They're coming out of what we call an earnings recession. So this is a natural rotation. When you get a natural rotation, you're going to get some bumps.
Very good. Well, thank you, Jordan. Tell us just a little bit more as we look through the end of the year, how do you think this is going to play out, and what areas do you think are going to be affected the most?
Well, through the end of the year, we probably get a quarter point basis cut in September, another one maybe in December. The question is, how many do we get in first quarter? The Fed has room to make these adjustments, and the question really becomes, is how quickly does the economy respond to lowering interest rates? And generally, the markets will respond quickly. The economy responds fairly quickly to those kind of things. So they've got room to kind of get it right. So we do not see a recession. We see a movement from a torrid expansion to a more sustainable one, a real GDP growth of around 2% to 2.5%. And when you have a 2%, to 2.5% GDP growth, ladies and gentlemen, you get about 10% market growth. That's the way the math works. That's kind of what history says. So we actually are fairly constructive, little volatility between now and the end of the year. And into next year, we feel pretty confident, too, that you're going to have a positive market. It's just going to be a little bit of a bumpy ride as everybody adjusts.
Well, we will fasten our seatbelts for sure. But the big question that everybody wants to know, and now that everybody's kind of joined the call here, now we have a change in the Democratic presidential candidate. Has that changed our views about the markets, our investment strategy? What can you share with us?
Sure. And for those of you who don't know, I spend a fair amount of time in Washington. We have a couple of lobbyists and consultants that we've spent time with over the years and on both sides of the aisle. So my job is to get a really good opinion from really smart people from the Democratic side of the aisle and the Republican side of the aisle. I spent time with both of these groups yesterday, and I want to kind of sum up for everybody on the call what the outcome was and how the dynamics come. And realizing that politics matters. My view on this is trying to take a look at how does it affect one's portfolios and how does it affect one's wealth, regardless of whether you're on one side of the aisle or the other. So it's a balanced approach. So from from the folks on the Democratic side, they view the Harris replacement of Biden as positive. I think to sum it up, as the conversations we had, there was severe worry that it was going to be a red wave, that what you were going to see was the Senate was going to go Republican. And I think both the Democrats and the Republicans think the Senate's going to go Republican, that you're going to end up with a Republican Senate. That's just the way the math and the map works. The concern was that you wonder if Biden continued to be the Democratic presidential nominee and he lost, that the Democrats would lose the House as well. And you would see all three branches of government in Republican. Now that Harris is in the race, what they're saying is the House is back in play and that it's going to be an exceedingly close election between Trump and Harris, and that the Democrats have an opportunity to win the House, which had almost was not going to be there before if they lost the presidency. Why is this important? What's important is when you have a divided government, when you have one party holding one thing and the other party holding the other, you almost get the Hippocratic Oath. That is, do no wrong, because they really can't do much, you know? And so I think that, and in that divided government environment, the markets and the economy tend to actually do pretty decent. And so I think that that's important to recognize. So the big difference I noticed with all the people I talked to was that Harris replacing Biden meant that there was a good likelihood that it's going to be a very close election and a good likelihood that you would see some form of divided government, some form. I don't know whether it's president, house, whatever, but it's some form of divided government. So as that pertains to your portfolios, not your politics, but as that pertains to your portfolios, we see that as a reasonably positive note. The other thing that's very important, and this comes from spending time talking to a number of senators, is that if one party or the other gets in complete control, they're going to have to deal with the fact that the Senate is really becoming massively deficit hawkish. In other words, you're not going to be in a position where you can explode the deficit with a tremendous, like, that if you're going to do a tax cut, there has to be a pay for, right? If you're going to do a tax cut, there has to be a pay for. How do we pay for that tax cut? Because everyone is becoming a deficit hawk. On both sides of the aisle, there's enough of that there that you can see that take place. And it's very interesting in talking about the Harris platform is really going to be Biden 2.0. There's no huge differences. Some say that Harris is a bit to the left of Biden, but in terms of all the policy stuff, they've only got 100 days. 100 days is not long. They're not going to be making a lot of changes. So the Harris platform is going to be Biden 2.0. The question is, what happens with the Trump platform? And it's very interesting, some of the things that the policy thinkers are coming out of on that. And just be ready for some creative, interesting things coming out. Because I'll give you an example of one that was explained to us, is that one of the ways that they want to, if you're going to have a corporate tax cut, the pay for is going to have to be a tax on imports, right? Which is another name for tariffs, right? A tax on imports, but how are you going to do the tax on imports? And one of the creative ways they looked at it is this way, is like, okay, we're going to have a tax on imports from countries that are big polluters. So you say, it's like the old carbon tax, right? But if we're trying to help the global environment, this is coming out of a Republican think tank. If we're trying to help the global environment, we're going to say, you, China, are a massive polluter. Well, the amount of carbon emissions that you put into the environment of the globe is going to determine how high of a tax we place on your imports. which is kind of a very environmentally friendly tax regime coming out of a Republican administration. And it was kind of a very interesting conversation I was setting in on. But this is, it's going to be very interesting over the next 100 days to see what kind of policy things are put forward. The Biden, Harris is going to put forward Biden 2.0. Trump is going to put forward a whole bunch of other stuff. End result is we probably have, when the smoke clears, divided government. There's a high likelihood of that. It's a massively close election that is going to spend billions of dollars on TV. They're like $10 billion that are going to be spent. You're probably not going to see many congressional ads or Senate ads because the presidential election will have bought them all up. What does this mean for us? Most of you as our clients have a thing called content leaders in your portfolios, and those are companies that make money off ad revenue. You may get so tired of hearing all of these political ads one way or the other, intense one side or the other. Just recognize every time you hear one, go cha-ching, because you own the company that's being paid to air that. So I think that that's kind of the way we take that through. The states that are in play are still the states that are in play before. None of that has changed. It's just going to be very close, and there's a higher likelihood of divided government. I can't opine whether who's going to win the presidency. Everybody thinks the Republicans are going to have the Senate. And the House is now back in play. I think that was the big thing that I took away from about 5 hours of conversations with a bunch of people yesterday. And that, how does that change our investment outlook for the end of the year? Again, we like media and content because they're going to have a really good quarter. But we also think that you're going to have some volatility, but we're well prepared for that. Your investment team is taking the money, and prior to all this, we trimmed back a lot of the tech stuff a little bit, and we spread that out to a broadening of the rest of the market. And we think we're well positioned in that space. And on the fixed income side, we're still relatively short term on that because we think interest rates are going to stay fairly high for a while. I mean, we're going to get quarter basis points adjustments, but no one's predicting a 2% federal funds rate anytime soon.
Okay, well, that's a great reminder. You know, it has been a strong year for our accounts due to great holdings that we have, such as content and the other UITs. And we just want to remind everyone, as we head into this second half of the year and look at our year-end planning, there will be capital gains. And that's a good thing, because that means we've done our job and done it well. So please be mindful and contact your advisor. It's that time of year. If you haven't already come in to meet with us, it's time to come in. Let's look at your tax situation for the year, and let's plan for required minimum distributions. If you haven't met with your advisor yet and you are taking RMDs, call us, email us, let's make an appointment, come in, and let's get ready to do that year-end planning. It's coming around really fast. Dryden, we had a few questions, and you touched on this a little bit earlier. Our clients want to know, are we heading into a recession right now? Can you just recap that for us?
Sure. The short answer is no. We're not headed into a recession. You have more people working, making more money than ever before. Our gross domestic product is $3 trillion higher than it was pre-pandemic. And it continues to grow. We've added a labor force the size of the entire labor force of Illinois. So that's the sixth largest state in the nation. We've added to gross domestic product in our economy. We've added the equivalent of France. We've grown the equivalent of the entire country of France in the last 4 years, their entire GDP. They're the seventh largest country in the world in terms of GDP. So I think are we going into recession? No, like I said, it's going to be a slowdown, but it's right sizing. And companies are actually reacting very quickly to changes that they see in labor force, changes that they see. Companies have better information now than they've ever had. If you want to think about the benefits of AI, companies know more about their internal operations than they do now. They make decisions quicker. They make pricing decisions quicker. They make layoff decisions quicker. They make hiring decisions. So companies are able to take some of the volatility out of their earnings by just having better information. And I think that, that helps. And so this is why, you know, 80% of the companies still beat earnings. And in the end, it's all about earnings. I do want to address one thing, and maybe it's a question you're having, like kind of what keeps me up late at night, or what do I worry about?
That was our next. How did you know, Dryden? You're reading our minds already. What are we worried about right now?
So I think the biggest thing that one has to watch out for is an oil shock. There, you know, everything else is a natural progression of just right-sizing the economy. But an oil shock driven by some event, and of course the players, Russia and Iran, need oil. So the point is there's not a big incentive for them. They're both at war, and the only form of currency they have is to sell their oil. So that's why you don't see Houthis attacking ships in the Straits of Hormuz, because the oil needs to get out. They're attacking things elsewhere. But the issue is that could we have a geopolitical event that could create an oil shock that could reignite some inflationary pressures? That's the thing that I would watch for. But on the other hand, I would also say that geopolitical events really have about a 45-day cycle, right? When you have a big geopolitical event driven by that, it's about 45 days and you're back to where you were. But if you want to know the thing that would cause us to take a hard look at our underlying thesis, that would be some major oil shock that has some sort of permanence to it. But other than that, we think we're well positioned, and we're going to end up with a good double-digit year for the S&P 500, good for the accounts and the ones that are properly positioned and based on everybody's risk tolerance. So our crystal ball in the next year is still pretty favorable. So I think we're still looking at continued growth in the accounts and just a little more volatility, that's all.
That being said, are we, should we, will we be taking profits in the portfolios?
We do that on a regular basis. For those of you who watch your portfolios carefully, you'll recognize that if you had a manager select accounts where there was a minor rebalance there. In your other accounts, there's been some rebalancing there where we've gradually sold off some things. In your trust accounts, one of the biggest problems we have, and you brought this up earlier, Emily, is managing capital gains. I mean, our fundamental job is to make you money. And we do that. And that creates capital gains. And we try to manage around long-term capital gains. And so it's very important, particularly if you're sensitive to taxation, to take a look at what you expect your tax situation is going to be. We try to begin at this time of the year, beginning to manage around the capital gains situation. But, the problem is last time I checked, everybody's mission statement to us was make me money. And so one of the challenges are, if we make you money, you're probably going to pay taxes along the way. And, if we are going to manage risk appropriately, that means we are going to take some chips off the table, not off the table totally, but we'll position them from one area into another area that we think has some better intermediate or long-term potential. So this is why it's important to talk with your advisor, particularly if you're heavy tax sensitive, so that we know how to position for the rest of the year.
That's right. And if you have an extraordinary event in your life this year, meet with us, talk with us, and let's make a plan. Okay. Well, thank you, Dryden. We appreciate all the insight and decoding of everything that's going on in the world right now. And I just want to remind everyone, this is the big, exciting thing I spoke about earlier. We are having an event type we haven't had in a very long time. We are having a Bring a Buddy event. And we are going to have this on Thursday, September 26th. It's going to be 6:00 in the evening here in Orange County, live and in person. And we're going to cover three things that kind of apply to all of us here. We're going to talk about, a detailed market update. Of course, we'll be closer to the election, so that's really important. We're going to give you some year-end tax planning ideas, as we always do. And here's the big one. We are going to be talking about cybersecurity, Dryden, and this is a big topic that we all need to learn how to better protect ourselves. So come on down to Orange County, bring a buddy with you. Let's have some dinner. Let's talk about cybersecurity and let's learn some things on how we can all be a little more diligent in the world right now. So anybody who, you know, doesn't know us, that you've thought about introducing to us, this is the biggest compliment we get from our clients, is you taking the time to introduce us to a family member or a friend who might use our help. And we're trying to make that as easy as we can for you. So please join us. We're excited to talk about these things. And we'll be sending out invitations soon. So watch your email inbox for that. So everyone, the next podcast will be also on Thursday, September 26th. It's a big day, a podcast and a Bring a Buddy event. Lots of Pence events that day. So please join us. Thank you all for your time.
Yeah, go. Okay.
Dryden's got
two quick things.
Jumping in here.
Okay, first of all, our most recent newsletter is going to hit probably in the next 48 to 72 hours. There's a lot of information, a lot of very good data and meat in that. It'll really kind of give you great detail around the stuff we've been talking about. It's also the stuff I talk about on media all the time. I'm going to be on Liz Klayman's show, Fox Business News, on the 19th. Of the month, and I will also be on CNBC Power Lunch next month on the 24th. But what's important to recognize is the newsletter's coming out. Take a chance to read that, share that with your friends, and then also back to the Bring a Buddy event that we talked about. You'll be getting the invitations in your email. Look for that, and we encourage you, if you have a friend or family member that hasn't had the opportunity to meet with the Pence team or come to any of our presentations, or might find that interesting going into what is certainly going to be an interesting third and fourth quarter, please invite them, and space will be limited. So make sure that you respond quickly. But thank you all very, very much. We appreciate it. The other thing I want to share with you is, folks, it's August. It's the summer. Go have fun. Enjoy yourself. We've got this. It's going to be fine. Have a great summer, and we'll see you next month. Back to you, Emily.
Thanks, everyone. From Layla and Dryden and the entire Pence team, we are here working hard for you. We hope that you enjoy this summer with your family and friends, and please, we're here for you, anything you need. Have a great summer, everyone.
Layla Pence is a registered representative with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC. Dryden Pence is a registered representative with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC. The financial professionals affiliated with PWM are registered representatives with and securities and investment advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC. Pence Wealth Management PWM and LPL Financial are separate entities.